we saw a stira yesterday, based on the Gra's interpretation, between the first part of the Gemara Megillah and the second part. The first part says that learning Torah seems like you don't need Siyata Dishmaya, it's just about you putting in effort. And only the second part of the Gemara, which was speaking about being able to remember your learning, that's where you need Siyata Dishmaya. But then, based on the Gra's interpretation, the word matzati is that after you've put in effort, it's not based on your effort. Rather, there's a special siyata d'shmaya that comes down. Like I mentioned the story of my wife getting a job, where she put in effort, but then at the end of the day, it was siyata d'shmaya that enabled her to get a job. That's also siyata d'shmaya. So then, everything's siyata d'shmaya. So what's the difference between the matzati type of siyata d'shmaya and what the Gemara calls siyata d'shmaya to remember your learning? So before he answers that question, he goes to another Gemara in Erevin. In Erevin, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Umimadbar matana," talking about where the Jews were traveling in the desert. "Amarav, mai dichtiv umimidbar matana, im adam mesimat smoka midbar, ze shekol dashin bo talmudo mitkayem beyado." If a person makes himself like a midbar, like the Jews who were in the midbar, and a person like makes himself like a desert, what attributes of the desert are we referring to? The humility aspect, that a desert is something where the only value is that people can cross past it, and therefore people trample on it. And a person makes himself that he has no ego, and he allows others, not in a negative sense of low self-esteem, but he allows others to trample on him, and he doesn't allow his ego to get in his way of the understanding, he will be able to hold on to his Talmud. V'shamadu bar b'ukme girsa. There it's referring to remembering your learning, because the language of the Gemara there is Talmudu mitkayem b'yado. You'll be able to retain your learning. So there it's talking about retaining learning, and it says there's a prerequisite, which is humility. U'mimidbar matana. The next stage of the Gemara says, from the desert they went to a place called matana. L'fize mitbarer ha'evdel. So based on that Gemara in Erevin, we can now resolve it. Chidud is a metzia. The type of learning which is sharpening understanding the first time, that's a type of Siyata d'shmaya called a metzia. For ukme girsa, and remembering your learning is a matana, is a gift. Is a gift. So there's something you find and something that you're given. That's the two different types that we're referring to. Gidrei kinyanim shonim lemetzia or lematana. Halachically, the way that you make an acquisition is different to the way you acquire something when you get it as a gift. V'metziya ein das acheres makne. With a metziya, you find it on the ground. You don't have someone else's intent to give it to you. It's only your intent to take it for yourself. That's the kinyan of a metziya, how it works. Ein das acheres makne. There's no other person's mind acquiring it to you. And therefore the kinyan yoter kal. It's easier to acquire. U'v'matana das acheres makne. However, with a gift, someone else has to have in mind they're giving it to you. Avaloza ein kinyan. With a metziah, if you just find it and you decide to take it, it's yours. With someone else's possession, you can't just decide to come and take it. That would be theft. You need someone else to have in mind they're giving it to you. It's a higher level of acquisition. So, rechidude ba'in anigam siyata d'shmaya. So to understand your learning, it's called a metziah. It's as if you're taking it by yourself. It's not someone else giving it over to you. Now you need Siyata d'shmaya, ach rak begeder metziya. But the level of Siyata d'shmaya you need is less. It's easier for you to acquire. You don't need someone else to hand it over to you. It's an easier acquisition. It's just you going and putting in effort. It's more of your putting in effort, because you don't have a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving it over to you to the same degree. Ulam lo'uk megirse, but for you to recall it, there it's totally giving it over to Hashem. Drusha Siyata d'shmaya bebechina yoter gedola, bebegeder matana. Even Moshe would learn and he would forget and he would learn and forget until HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually gave it to him as a gift. So let's try and define more clearly now exactly what we're saying. There are different types of Siyata d'shmaya. In order to access the Siyata d'shmaya of being able to learn to begin with, you have to have put in effort. That's what we spoke about yesterday. Even any learning that you'll ever understand, at the end of the day, is God's helping you out. But to access that Siyata d'shmaya, you have to have shown God that you're putting in your maximum effort. And when you've shown God that you're putting in maximum effort, then you'll get Siyata d'shmaya to understand. That's one type of Siyata d'shmaya. Al yedei hayegiya zochim lemetziya. Hashem opens your eyes after you've put in effort and you're able to see. Begeder ro'eh et hametziya. You notice there's a metziya there. So long as you put an effort, there's a guarantee that you'll be able to understand. However, for retaining your learning, you need a lot more work. There's a prerequisite in a different way, but it's not a prerequisite here of putting in effort. Of course you have to put an effort, but that's not the prerequisite. That won't be enough. Rather, there's a prerequisite of middos. You have to be humble. Because that's what the Gaon Erevin said. The only way Talmudo mitkayem beyado, the only way you can retain your learning, is if you make yourself like a midbar, if you make yourself humble. I'm going to try and explain, according to my understanding, why that is. When a person learns the first time, then there are other factors that go into what encourages him to learn. People have a natural inquisitiveness to learn something new, whatever it is. And therefore, the first time you learn something, it's always going to be interesting. What's this about? What's that about? Let me see if I understand it myself. So there's the inquisitiveness. People also like challenge. Something new. Let me try and work it out. A new puzzle. A new Sudoku. Like, let me see what this is. I have at home for my son has these, like, you know, these two rings that are interlocked in all different shapes. Yeah, and back in the day, in a different era, when I used to have guys over on Friday night, in between the meal and the tish, we used to have a little pre-tish. And we called it the dessert at the Davidsons. It was very nice. So I used to hand those around and no one was listening to anything I was saying. Everyone was like trying to figure these things out. And there's a sense of like challenge. I'm like, am I going to work this out? Can I get it out? So one, you have inquisitiveness when you learn something new. It's just interesting. What is it about? Number two, there's a sense of challenge. You want to like think, you enjoy, not just because you're inquisitive about it, but because like I want to prove myself. I want to try and figure it out. There's a challenge. Number three, there's ego. There's ego. It's also a positive element that pushes you to learn. Which is, I want to show that I know it. I want to show my chavrut that I know it. I want to show that I can get it first. Right? There are also some lolishma factors playing in there, but you can use in a positive way to push you to learn. So when you come to learn something for the first time, of course you have to put in effort. But you have a lot of, let's say some of them are ego, a little bit orientated, but you have a lot of ego pushing you, which encourages you to do it. Now, once you've learnt it once, those don't apply anymore. You're not so inquisitive about it because you've learned it already. It's not a challenge for you because you've figured out already. And the ego, there's nothing to prove here really because you've learned it already. Let's move on to the next thing. And then there's this opposite desire where a person says, I want to advance, I want to move on, I want to show that I've covered ground. And then you almost have to work against yourself. All those factors that were pushing you the first time round to learn, they're now working against you and saying, move on, you can accomplish more, you can do more. And a person may not review his learning. And then he may not actually retain it. And then what happens is, it's like a bucket with a hole in, where as you pour in more, then it opens a valve to make space. The hole opens at the bottom of the bucket, makes space. And then that clears out, and then the new information is able to come in. And then as that fills up, then you need to pour more water in, so that clears space and it goes down again. And the learning comes in and goes out, and a person always feels fulfilled at the moment because his water bucket, his container is always full. He's filling it with more and filling it with more and filling it with more. But he's in a situation where it's always needing to be filled because he's clearing out the old in order to make room for the new. The fact that you're saying new doesn't make it better. It just makes it new, exciting, interesting, inquisitive, challenge, but that doesn't mean you're containing anything. What traits do you need in order to ensure that you're retaining your learning? Humility. Because if it's the ego that pushes you to learn something new, I can prove I can do more, here, look, I'll do another thing, and I'll show off, and it's a challenge, but I want to prove myself. There's no ego that's pushing you to review. You can't use that. What you need is to say, this is important to me, and even if I have to put myself aside, my ego aside, but I want to retain this knowledge because this is God's will, and I want to know God's will. And that's the correct thing to do. And even if I don't have a push towards that from my ego perspective, it doesn't matter. This is what's important. And I'm going to do that. And therefore, the Gemara says, if a person wishes to retain his learning, midbar. He has to be like a midbar. He has to reduce the ego and have humility. And you find that those people who work with the ego, and they learn a lot, they're very enjoying the process, but by the end of the year, 2 years, they feel very empty. Because they say, Baruch Hashem, I use my time well in yeshiva, but I feel drained. My mind is drained. I don't remember a thing. I can remember here or there. I gave a chabura once, and I remember the good feeling that I have that gave the chabura. I have a good feeling towards Torah because I enjoyed my learning the whole way through. Could be the attitude towards Torah will be very strong. But what do I remember? And what am I bringing with me? And now that it's the next year and I'm learning new sugyas, what can I ask from previous sugyas? And now that I'm coming to Paskan Halacha, do I see any connection between the Gemaras and the Halacha? Empty. Empty. Just the bucket opened, the water went out, the new water came in. However, someone who has humility and is able to say, I won't finish the Masechta. Who needs to finish the Masechta? I won't cover as much ground as the next person. I won't be at the same pace as someone else. But what I know, I know. What I know, I'm going to review again and again, and I know. You come to the end of the year, and maybe you don't have the ego that you can say, I finished 120 daf, and you can only say, I finished 40, 50, 60 daf, but you can say, but I know it. I'm taking it with me. It's mine, I've made a kinyan on it. And I have a cycle of chazoras that I will retain it with me from step to step. It takes humility to do that. There's no ego pushing you in that direction. But you've built yourself in a true way that you can take it with you from step to step. What's the nafka minna? The nafka minna is the next world, as well as this world. The next world, the person goes to Shemayim after 120 years. Oh, what did you learn? Well, me, what did I learn? I learned brochus and Shabbos and Psochim and all the Bavas and Ksuvas and Yevamos. And I learned Nadorim. I learned. Wonderful. Share with us. Share with you? Yeah, you said you learned it. Share it with us. Shnaim ochzim betalis zeronem. I mean, there's another part, one second. There was something about three quarters and a quarter. That's in the Gemara later when they're trying to work out why half of a half is a quarter and then three. One second. I don't remember exactly, but there was something to do with a half and a whole and a quarter and a three quarters and a. That was Bava Metzia. But you said you learned brochas. Oh, yeah, brochas. Shahakol on food that comes from the ground, and hadama on food from hadama, and ha'et on food for ha'et. And if you say hadama on ha'et, then it counts. But if you say ha'et hadama, it doesn't count. Good. You learned the whole masechta. That's one mishnah line. Yeah. You know, I learned the whole masechta, but you see, I'm just showing you that I remember something because there that was a mishnah in brachos, right? It's a joke for a minute, but then it's not funny. You go up to Shema and they say you learned all this. So where is it? You're not bringing it with you. Do you know who you could have been? And then they put up a big screen of who you could have been. And it's a split screen. On the one hand is who you could have been, on the one hand is who you were. And you see the ego that pushed you and pushed you and pushed you to make you empty. To make you wasted potential. And you say, but I was putting in so much effort to learn. And they say, yeah, but you weren't doing it the right way. And you say, but I never heard of the right way. I said, yes, you did. You learned Alei Shor, Shaar Sheni. Perik Shishi, and it said it there beforehand, and you heard it. So why didn't you do it? And the answer was, the ego pushed me to learn more and more. I thought it was a good thing, I was learning more and more. You go, yeah, but you won't learn the right way. You have to know what you learn. It's more important to come up here and say less information, but what you know is yours. If anyone has the, there's a version of the Mishnah called Mishnah Sedura, I don't know if you know it. It's beautifully written in a way that's much easier to remember the Mishnah and to do Chazaras. In the introduction to the Mishnah Sedura, you can look at the page, I'm sure you'll find a few copies of it. So in the Mishnah Sedura version of the Mishnah, he has one page, they're encouraging people to learn Mishnah. And he brings there a pretty scary Chazal source, I don't know where it's from. A source from Chazal. It's not going to Gemara, a Medrash of sorts. And it quotes there, someone who comes up to Shemayim, who has, and they ask him, what did you learn? And if he says, I learned these storim, and they say to him, why didn't you learn more? And if he said, because I was reviewing those to ensure that I would know them well, they say, that's fine. They say, okay, say what you know, and you say what you know, and you enter. And if a person says, I learned more, and he doesn't remember it, then he gets in trouble, and then it gets a bit more scary after that in the Midrash. You have to know what you know. And it takes humility to do that. It takes humility not to push yourself with the ego further and further. That's what the Gemara says. Umimidbar matana. We're not talking here about the effort that you put in when you learn. That's the first round. We're talking here the next round. Hit batluta adam, where you cancel yourself, you become humble. Im kol shifato umahava v'sidrei chayav, shakol yeh batel mavatal legavei shifa achati ledat Torah b'li shechacha. Your goal has to be that you learn in a way that you can retain what you learn. Do not learn in a way that you'll forget everything. You have to learn in a way that you'll retain what you learn. Whatever it is that you're learning, make sure you're doing chazar of it and reviewing of it, and make your schedule less information, more of you. And do not make your schedule maximum information, no time for review. Because then what are you taking with you? You're taking, I forgot a lot. You just forget more. No, don't forget more. Learn. Zedoresh Adam Kulo. You have to invest everything in this. Shelo yachus al nochiyato, kvodo v'mamono. There are other elements that will push you to learn in other ways. No. Yafkir atzmo lagabe halimud. You have to devote yourself fully to your learning in a way that you will return it. Now, I want to put a clause on this, which I feel is an important clause. There are certain times where, and one has to be very careful and get guidance on this matter, but there are certain times where, because of a person's nature or the situation that he's in, like the opportunity he has or chavrusas that he has or certain things, that there could be a value short term in learning a certain topic, even if you won't remember it, just because of the sweetness of Torah that a person will have and the connection they'll have, even if he won't remember. So for example, if you have a person who right now is feeling not connected to learning at all, right, and you make a project for him, and the project is to finish a Masechta, to finish Masechta's Megillah, and that's the goal, and that's going to encourage him and push him, and he won't remember it, but it'll get him back on track, and it'll get into his learning, and you make that a goal, that's fine. Don't say to that type of person, no, only learn 3 pages and know it very well, because it could be for him, at the state where he's in, he just needs to reconnect. So there will be times, and that could even be the case, not right now, in yeshiva, that could even be the case with Daf Yomi. For example, if a person is a balabos, he's out of yeshiva, and he sees that it's not happening, that it's just not happening, that he's learning. He's trying to make it work, and it's not working. And he's forcing himself to try and make himself learn, and it's just not working. So he starts learning Daf Yomi. And then he reads this, he says, oy vavoy, I'm learning Daf Yomi, it's the worst thing in the world. I'm remembering, I'm forgetting, I'm not remembering, I'm just learning and not forgetting. So he says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn in a way that I'll remember what I learned. So he tries learning the one page and reviewing it and reviewing it, and then he gives up because he doesn't have any structure, he doesn't have any schedule, he doesn't have a shir that he gets to go to where the rabbi encourages him and asks him, where were you if he doesn't come? So if he's trying to do this and it's the expense of him being connected to learning, then it may be better that he learns Daf Yomi and not remember, but he's mechubar la Torah. He's learning every day and he's connected to turning and there's a sweetness and a love for learning, and that could be a better option for him. But if a person has two options in front of him, like you do in yeshiva, which is the question of working out your schedule. Should I spend time on covering more ground, or should I spend time on ensuring what I'm learning? There, it's not one, it is one at the expense of the other, but it's not at the expense of your connection with learning. It's just the question of prioritizing. That's where these words are very important. Where a person has to ensure that he retains what he learns, and even learn less at a pace that you'll be able to retain what you're learning. He then quotes Sefer HaTanya. And this is all within the major goal of understanding that middos are a prerequisite for your learning. So the first point that we mentioned was, in order to learn, the prerequisite is putting in our melus. In order to retain your learning, the prerequisite is humility. That was point number one. Now we're moving on to Sefer HaTanya. This is a quote. The kol shelo egiya ledei midah zo, lihilachem im gufo b'milchama atzuma, adayin lo higiya lebechina ve'erech milchamat ha'yetzer ha'bo'er ke'esh lahava. להיות נכנע ונשבע מפי פחד השם. וכן הוא לעניין עסק לימוד התורה, ללמוד הרבה יותר מחפצו ורצונו, לפי טבעו ורגילותיו, על ידי מלחמה עצומה וגופו, כי הלומד מעט יותר מטבעו, הרי זה מלחמה קטנה. This is a quote from Perek Lamed of Tanya. I want to explain it. My own words, my own understanding. It's 9:30, 9:40 p.m., and you've learned well today, but you're a little tired, and you feel like you just want to leave the basement. And normally you have a state that goes a bit later, but you just feel like you're done. And you're ready to leave the basement. You don't have anything particular to do, it's not like you're going straight to bed, but you just need to have a rest and have a break. And you start walking out of the basement. Now at that moment, that was the first time today, you had the opportunity to prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Torah was important to you. Because the whole day when you were learning because it was the schedule and because that was the time and because why not? Why not? I'm here, I'm in yeshiva, I got this far. I'm already here, why shouldn't I learn? You know, you didn't have to prove to Hashem that learning was important to you. It was just what was happening anyway. But at 9:40, when you feel worn out and your normal schedule is to go till 10, and now it's a question of, oh, I can't be bothered, there's a bit of a laziness. It's a horror there, which is saying to you, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. Have a break. At that moment, you have the opportunity to prove that Torah learning is important to you. You didn't have the whole day. The whole day you were learning Torah. That was very good. But you didn't have the opportunity to prove that you're willing to put in Mesiras Nefesh to learn Torah. Because it wasn't a state of Mesiras Nefesh, it was just a natural state. When you have that opportunity, it's a gold opportunity. It's a gift that Hashem has given you. Those are the moments where you connect to Hashem in a much deeper, more profound way than you did the whole day. It's you saying, Hashem, this is important to me and I'm willing to fight for it. When were you willing to fight for it? The whole day. The whole day you were doing it just because you happened to. Sometimes you have parents who are very against their sons coming to yeshiva. And for them to come to yeshiva was a fight. I mean, not a fight that the Chas Shalom should ever cause friction. But it was a lot of effort, a lot of discussions, a lot of involving other people. And sometimes there's financial issues that there were kids who I know of who came here, who worked in the summer and took a job the whole 12th grade in order to earn money because they knew their parents wouldn't support them to come to yeshiva. And they realized they had to fund themselves and play for the air ticket themselves. When they came here, they put in so much mysterious nefesh to come and learn Torah. They didn't waste the moment. They were investing everything in their learning, says the Tanya. Until you've got to the point where you have to fight against yourself a great battle, you haven't yet got to the point where it's important to you. Only when you're willing to fight and then give in, meaning not give in to the Yetzer Hara, but give in to the, I know I need to learn. And the reason you do that is because you're aware of Pachad Hashem, of Hashem's great obligation upon you. And specifically in the area of learning Torah. And here's how you do it. You learn more than initially you feel you want to. Now I want to make a big differentiation here. I'm not talking about a person who knows they need a certain amount of sleep and it's time to leave the base medrash. And they go, no, I'm going to push on. That's the Yetzer Hara also. Because he's just trying to push you in an area which looks holy. But then let's see how your davening is tomorrow morning. And if your davening tomorrow morning is not on the same value, or the same level, then that wasn't the Yetzer Tov pushing, that was the Yetzer Hara pushing. But when you feel, I can't be bothered, oh, why should I push myself harder, all those excuses, if someone else would say them, you would say, that's pathetic, I wouldn't buy that. And when you're saying it, suddenly sounds justified, and you push yourself then, you're proving your devotion to HaKadosh Baruch. So if it ever happens to you, I'm not saying that you should push yourself for another hour. Maybe you need a rest. But yes, go back as you get to the door, the back of the base medrash, when you feel like you want to leave early, and this could also apply mid-Seder where you feel you need a break and you know really you don't need a break, you're just being lazy. And you get to the door at the back of the base medrash and you're about to open it and your hand touches the handle of the door and you remember these words of the Tanya and you say, I'm going to go back for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. I need a break. Okay, I will have a break in 2 minutes. For 2 minutes I'm going to learn more. Why? Because I don't want the moment the Yetzer Hara comes and says, take a break, I say, oh yes, I will. I'm pathetic. I don't have any resistance. I don't have any grit. No, I have grit and I have resistance. And I'm able to stand up against the Yetzer Hara. And if I need a break, I'll take it. But not when you tell me to, when I'm ready to. Not on your terms, Yetzer Hara, on my terms, on God's terms. So when I need a break, I'll take a break. But first, I'll push myself for 2 more minutes to learn. 3 more minutes to learn. 5, not forever. Not forever. I have to be honest with myself. If I need it, I'll take it. But not when I'm not a subject to the Yetzer Hara. I'm only subject to God. And I'm willing to prove my devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go against my initial Yetzer and fight the great battle against my body by learning a little bit beyond what's natural to me. That's the words. The words of the Tanya. Lomed me'at yoter mitivo. Learn a little bit more that is natural to you. And when you do that, you've proven that you're part of Hashem's army. You're devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something which I think it's safe to say that people experience once a day, once every other day, once a week at least. You have this moment where you feel, oh, I can't bother anymore. But you know really you can. It's just coming from the laziness. And at that moment you say, oh, I was waiting for this moment. Now I can prove to God like a general in the army who waits for the battle so that he can prove his warrior training, his devotion. You can prove that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you push yourself to learn 2 more minutes when it's not natural to you.
I think in the past, I'm not sure we got it from. They had a saying, ego